as we prepare to hear God's word today, would you join me in prayer? Prepare our hearts, O God. Help us to receive. Break up the hard and stony ground. Help our unbelief. Plant your word down deep in us. Cause it to bear fruit. Open up our ears to hear and lead us to your truth. Show us Christ. Oh God, reveal your glory through the preaching of your word until every heart confesses Jesus Christ is Lord to your glory. Amen. Amen. We are in John chapter 12 today. I invite you to open your Bibles there. John chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 44 through 50. Randy Kilby, at the age of 42, was the president of Fruitland Bible Baptist Institute in North Carolina. On February 6, 1997, he was preaching at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary at the chapel service there, and as he began, he said these words, "Pray for me that I will come into this pulpit as if it were my first time. Pray for me that as I preach, I'll preach as if it were my best time. And pray for me, for it could be my last time." Well, it wasn't his last time, but 5 days later, as he preached very passionately at a Bible conference in West Lenoir Baptist Church there in North Carolina, he finished his sermon, he walked out of the sanctuary, and he died of an apparent heart attack. The great Puritan pastor Richard Baxter once famously said, "I preached as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men." You know, as a Puritan, in an age when being a Puritan was subject to persecution, Baxter never knew when that might be the last sermon that he would preach. But really, it's true of all of us, isn't it? We never know when we might preach our last sermon or when you might hear your last sermon. You know, I hope that this morning is not the last sermon that I will ever preach. And I pray for you that it's not the last one that you hear. But here in John chapter 12, we find the last public sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ. One that he knew would be his last. Now, these are not the last words of Christ that we find in the gospel. In fact, the next five chapters will contain many words spoken by Jesus privately to his disciples and to his Father in prayer. We'll find a few words when we get to chapter 18 regarding his arrest and his trial. And we know that he speaks seven brief utterances from the cross. But here in John 12, we have Jesus' final public appeal, his final public sermon to the Jews there in Jerusalem who have not believed in him. John tells us in verse 44, "Then Jesus cried out and said..." Now, when it says that he cried out, it means to shout in a loud voice. Jesus is doing more than just teaching. He's strongly urging his hearers to pay attention to the truths that he is going to give them. He wants these words to resonate in the ears of those who heard him that day and in ours as we hear them today. So listen as I read our text, John 12, verses 44 through 50. "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." This is the Word of God. So with this loud public declaration, these final words of Jesus, the Son of God, puts a period on 3.5 years of public ministry. If you've been following along in the teaching that we have had in the Gospel of John over the last few months, you will notice that Jesus in these verses really doesn't say anything different than he's been saying all along throughout the Gospel of John. And his words here are kind of a review, a restatement of some of the key truths that we have found throughout the Gospel of John. The truths focus on his identity, who he is, on his purpose for coming, why he came. They give warnings of judgment and encouragement to believe in him for eternal life. And so, Jesus, in his final public sermon, clearly reminds us of who he is, why he came, and what the consequences are, both for those who do not believe and for those who do believe. So first, as we look at these verses, in verses 44 and 45, I want you to see, first of all, that Jesus came, number one, to show us the Father. Jesus came to show us the Father. Look at what it says. "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me.'" Did you notice in those verses that Jesus declares twice that he was sent? Do you see it there? It says, "Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes me believes not in him, but in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees not, does not see.'" He says, "He who sees me sees him who sent me." Now you might be wondering, who is the one who sent him? Well, we've seen that throughout the Gospel of John. It's the Father who has sent him. In fact, if you go down to verse 49, he tells us that specifically. It is the Father who sent him. In fact, if you go back through the Gospel of John, I'm not going to repeat all of them for you today, but almost 35 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus has said he was sent by the Father. And he refers to him who sent me. Over and over and over again. We've only had 12 chapters in the Gospel of John, and he says that at least 35, 36 times, three times a chapter on average. Jesus says that he was sent, he was sent, he was sent. And that's the truth at the core of Jesus' identity. It's at the core of who Jesus is. Jesus came into the world in a way that was like no one else who is in the world. Like no one else who has ever walked upon the earth, Jesus was sent by the Father. And Jesus declares to us that he was sent into this world as one who is so united with the Father that to believe in him, to believe in Jesus, is to believe in the Father. He's so united to the Father that to see him, to see Jesus, is to see the Father. It's what he says there in those two verses. Unless we miss what that means, Jesus strengthens it. He says, he who sees me sees him who sent me. And the word that is translated here, see, means to gaze on intently and to think about, to contemplate what you see. And so to gaze upon Jesus and to contemplate him is to gaze upon and contemplate the Father. Jesus is affirming here what John states in his introduction to the Gospel of John. You remember we go back to John chapter 1, verse 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Explaining how Jesus is one in essence with the Father, but different in person. This is the truth of the Trinity. Then he tells us how the eternal Son of God came to this earth, how he was sent. In chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John 1:18 tells us what it means for us that he was sent. It says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. You see it? Jesus came to show us the Father. He came full of grace and truth. He came with the glory of God and displayed that through his works and through his words, so that when we see Jesus in what he has done and what he has said and who he is, we have seen the Father. He has declared him. He has shown us the Father. He shows us the Father because he is one with the Father. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And again, down in John chapter 10, verse 38, he said, know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. In chapter 8, verse 19, Jesus says to those who did not believe in him, he says, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Jesus is going to repeat this truth in chapter 14 when we get there. Philip is going to request of Jesus, show us the Father. You know what Jesus says in reply? Chapter 14, verse 9 and 10. He says, have I been with you so long, and yet you still have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? So to know God You must know Jesus. In John's first letter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 23, he affirms, "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also." The only way to the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ. And the Jews to whom Jesus is speaking this day, they said, "We believe in God." But most of them refused to believe in Jesus. And what Jesus is showing is you cannot say you believe in God and it be true if you don't believe in Jesus. The only way to believe in the Father is to believe in the Son. You know, there are a lot of people today that claim the same thing. They'll say, "Well, I believe in God, but I don't have to believe in Jesus Christ." Jesus says that's impossible. The only way to have a relationship with God the Father is through His Son. To believe on Jesus is to believe on God the Father. And to see Jesus is to see God the Father. No wonder Jesus shouted this. There's no other way to have a relationship with the Father except through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came into this world, to show us the Father. Next, number two, Jesus came to shine as a light in the darkness. Verse 46 here. He says, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." And here again, Jesus is just restating a truth that He's already declared to us a number of times here in the Gospel of John. In fact, again, you go back to the very beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. John affirms in his introduction, he says, "In Him," that is in the Word, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, "in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." In chapter 1, verse 9, he calls Jesus the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. When you get to chapter 3, we have that great statement after we have John 3:16, "That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life," and how we are not condemned if we believe in Him, but if we don't believe, we're condemned already. But then he gets down to verse 19, and he says this, "And this is the condemnation," this is the judgment, "that light has come into the world." He's speaking about Christ here. "Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes into the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Jesus is the light. He came to shine in this dark place of this world, and as He does, He exposes people's sin. He is the light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus proclaimed, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In John chapter 9, verse 5, just before Jesus opens the eyes of the man born blind, Jesus repeated, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And in this chapter, if you back up to verses 35 and 36, Jesus again taught, "A little while longer, and the light," speaking of Himself, "the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." What does all that mean to us? It means this, that the world without Christ is in darkness. Spiritual darkness, moral darkness. This fallen world in which we live is a very dark place. You know that. As you go through your day and you watch the news or you just see what's going on in the hearts and lives of people, you'll find that this is a very dark place without Christ. People are hurting one another and murdering one another. They're against one another. Nation against nation and family member against family member. And it's just selfishness on after one side and another. And it's sin that has blackened, that has darkened this world. And Jesus came as a light to dispel the darkness, to get rid of the sin, and someday He'll completely do that. But first, He comes to deal with the penalty of sin, which is death. We'll get to that in just a minute when we come to point number three. But apart from Jesus, the light of the world, we cannot know God. We cannot know the Father. And we cannot even know how to live in a way that pleases God without Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we don't understand the things that the Spirit of God reveals in His Word. Without Christ, we are darkened in our understanding. We are excluded from the life of God. Jesus is the light. And listen, there is no other. He is the light of the world. He came to shine the light of God into the dark world of sin. And point number three, Jesus came to save the world. This is good news, brothers and sisters. Verse 47, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus says He did not come for the purpose of judging the world. He came for the purpose of saving the world. Jesus would say it in the Gospel of Luke, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, Jesus is stating truths that we've already seen throughout this Gospel. In John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Jesus says this, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, Jesus did not come to bring judgment, to bring condemnation upon the world. Judgment was already on the world. The world was already condemned. Jesus didn't need to condemn sinners. Sinners are already condemned. They're already spiritually dead. They're already in spiritual darkness. They don't need condemnation. What they need is life. What they need is light because they're in the darkness. They need life because they're dead. They need the life of God because they already are condemned. They need pardon. They need forgiveness. That's what Jesus came to give. In His coming, Jesus was on a mission to save from condemnation those who would believe on Him. And the purpose for which Jesus came in His first advent was to save the world, He says. He came to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. He came so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. John 10, verse 9. Listen, as the Son of God, He did not have to be born into humanity to judge the world. God can judge the world any time, any place He chooses. He is God, right? But the Son of God had to be born into the human family in order to be our Savior. That's why He came. He left the glory of heaven and was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary and was born in Bethlehem and grew up among us and lived as a man and taught us and did all of those miracles as the Son of God. And yet, He grew up in this fallen world of humanity without committing one sin. He walked on the earth in perfect obedience to the Father's commands. And finally, He took all of the guilt of human sin upon Himself as the sinless Lamb of God. And He went to the cross and died in our place. He did it to save the world. Jesus did not come to judge the world, but to save the world, He says. But what we see, as a result of Jesus coming as a light into the world, as a result of Jesus coming in obedience to the Father's commands, what we find is that just the mere fact of Jesus coming becomes a judgment. It's not the purpose that He came, but it's a result of His coming. So what we see next is that everyone will be judged by what they do with Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, number four, that He came into this world to speak judgment and eternal life. To speak judgment and eternal life. Look at verse 48. First, Jesus speaks of judgment. He says, "He who rejects Me and does not receive My words, has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Jesus says there will be a last day. And it will be a day of judgment. He said that before, several times. You go back to chapter 6, you know, he's going to talk about the last day several times. In chapter 5, He talks about the judgment several times. But the Bible warns us that there will be a judgment day is coming, and the wrath of a holy God will be poured out on sin. But ultimately, as Jesus says here, it will be the words of Jesus that judge people on that day. Jesus came to this earth, He said, and He spoke the words that the Father gave Him. Verse 49, "I have not spoken on My own authority, but the Father who sent Me gave Me a command what I should say and what I should speak." And we will be judged by the words that Jesus spoke. The one who rejects Jesus and His words, in verse 48, right? Will remain condemned on that day. But the opposite is true of those who receive Jesus and His word. In John 5:24, Jesus offers a sure escape to the judgment on that day. Listen to John 5:24. "Most assuredly," Jesus says, "I say to you, he who hears My," what? "Word, and believes in Him who sent Me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Did you see it? When Jesus came into this world, He put every man and every woman in this world at the crossroads of a decision. they must either receive his words and believe on him, or choose not to receive his words and to reject him. And what you do with what he said will determine your eternal destiny. He told his disciples in chapter 15, verse 22. We'll get there eventually. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. So at the end of Jesus' last public sermon, he cries out, verse 50, "And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." The mission that the Father had commanded Jesus to fulfill, which he fulfilled perfectly. The words that the Father commanded him to speak, which he declared boldly and publicly, all of that, his life, his words, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, all of it leads to one thing: eternal life for those who believe. Everlasting life. It's the commandment of the Father. He commanded Jesus to get eternal life for everyone who would believe in him. And Jesus was obedient to that. The only reason you can be saved today is because Jesus was obedient to the Father in his command to give eternal life to everyone who believes. It's because of what Jesus did for you. That's why Jesus came. Jesus shouted it out. He came to show us the Father. He came to shine as a light in this dark world. He came not to judge sinners, but to save them. He came to speak judgment and eternal life so that we might believe on him and be saved. That's why the Lord speaks with such urgency here at the end of his public ministry, crying out these words in his final public sermon. And that was the end. It was the last time that the Jews there in Jerusalem would hear him preach. We don't know. This could well be the last sermon that you ever hear preached. It might be the last one that I'm able to speak. This is your hour of decision. It's not my words that are important, but his words. It's his words that will judge you on that day. What have you done with Jesus? Have you taken the words of Jesus to heart? Have you believed his words about who he is and why he came? Have you received him as the one who died for your sins, who bore your punishment upon the cross, the one that the Spirit of God raised from the dead so that you could have that gift of eternal life? Have you received that gift? That's his invitation to you today. Let's stand together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for teaching day by the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, the words that you commanded him to speak, the words of eternal life. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today who has not yet believed on Jesus Christ, I pray that even today, God, you would convict them by the power of your Holy Spirit. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I turn my back on my sin and my selfishness and my life without Christ. And I turn to you, God. Please save me. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead, and I want so much now, God, for you to save my life. Make me a new person. God, I pray that if there's someone here today that expresses the desire of their heart, and as you're drawing them now by your Spirit, God, that you would save completely those who come to you by faith. Do your work in the hearts of people now, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing number